garden party to reminisce with my old friends.
Throughout the land, people are planting victory gardens to augment the nation's food supply for war.
First, you're alone with a little seed. You plant the seed, and soon you're alone with a little bud. And soon you're alone with a little onion. You eat the onion, and boy, are you alone.
Plant a little garden. Eat a lot of peaches. Try and find Jesus on your own.
It's time for the Garden Show, featuring the staff of the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens.
Good morning. Welcome to the Garden Show here on Cheyenne Today. Cheyenne Today presented by Black Hills Energy. The Garden Show brought to you by Gardening with Altitude at 1101 Logan Avenue. Gardening with Altitude, all of your gardening needs. So I know it is that time of year. Stop on by Gardening with Altitude. They have the plants and trees and shrubs that grow in this area. So Gardening with Altitude, 1101 Logan Avenue. We do have horticulturists from the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens in studio with us. Jacob and Isaiah, gentlemen, how are you doing on a rainy Thursday today?
We're somewhat dry, you know, from the run over here.
Yeah. This has been one of those good rains. This is one of those that last couple days, not really hard, but one of those good soaking rains that last a while. And that's something that we've been needing around here.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, we always need this precipitation this time of year. And it's nice that we're getting it in the rain form and not the snow form, you know. And we were talking about that as we showed up here, because we're looking at all the, you know, the apples blooming and stuff outside, and it's always so great when we get these big spring blooms, but then we generally get that Mother's Day snow, you know, and the leaves are out, and it ends up knocking the blossoms off. So he hasn't been here for a year where we dodge that, because when we dodge that, we really get this beautiful spring here, and the town just smells wonderful because all the stuff's in bloom, and we actually get to enjoy it. And it's kind of a rarity that we do, because our weather patterns generally knock that stuff down for us. But yeah, so keep our fingers crossed. Maybe it just stays rain for us. And sounds like Laramie probably got some snow, though, didn't they?
Well, I was over there yesterday. It snowed a little. I mean, on the pass, it was coming back. It was pretty hectic. I mean, it was coming down pretty hard.
Yeah.
But it, you know, as always, once you get a little bit past Buford, it
tapers off,
and it just was rain at that point. But always good to get a little bit of the moisture that you don't have to shovel. That's the way I always look. So we're getting, the temperatures could get cold tonight, maybe a possible freeze with this moisture. If anybody has anything out, or if they plant anything early, guys, should they be doing anything with stuff right now?
You know, and that's we say it and we say it and we say it, you know, you really want to hold off on a lot of this, you know, spring planting until we get through this weather and these freezes, because we've had generally, I think our freeze warning is generally all the way up until like Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. I think
you got to be really careful when you're putting this stuff in. But if you have already put this stuff in and you're worried about it and you can't bring it in, you know, hopefully most of these things are pots that you can bring into the house and stuff overnight. But you can get out there, you can cover these things, you can mulch them in a little bit for some insulation, and keep your fingers crossed. So it's going to get cold, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, we always do.
Yeah, yeah. Every year.
Always seem to get through it each and every year.
So yep.
634-1240, that is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line, text line 630-2266 if you have a question or a comment for Jacob and Isaiah. And again, if you do call in or text in with a question or a comment, I'll put your name on a gift card for a breakfast sandwich from Chick-fil-A. So, gentlemen, what I had actually, before we get going on this, I popped into the Botanic Gardens earlier this week. Governor Matt Mead was signing a proclamation out there for Travel and Tourism Week.
Yep.
I completely forgot what I was going to say. Travel and Tourism Week next week. And, you know, my first real experience in there, and boy, what a outstanding building. I mean, I walked around a little bit, just kind of went through the conservatory there, the big wicker elephants and all that, where they had the press conference. Isaiah was standing in there watching it. So there's all kinds of citrus trees in there, right?
Yes, yep. So that room is actually the orangery, and that room was first built in like the 18th and 19th century for wealthy landowners.
Yeah.
Just as we were discovering the New World and we were discovering citrus trees and tropical plants, They wanted those in their own homes, and these are people in England and in France where it gets too cold and too snowy for citrus and stuff. So they built these rooms on the south side of their house, full of windows, pretty much a greenhouse before greenhouses were really popular and really easy to maintain.
Yeah.
And it just lets it get really warm and try to keep their humidity up. And so that particular green, the particular orangery we have, is the design features are based off of the first orangery built in America at Mount Vernon.
Okay.
And I think that one was based on another one from Europe or something. So it's kind of just, you know, tying it back to the history of it. Mm-hmm. And everything in there is, there's about six different kinds of citrus trees. There's some hibiscus, and that's a really nice place to go and sit. And we've had quite a few birthday parties, baby showers, bridal showers. People really like that spot.
Yeah. So, some of them look like they already had some big fruit on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, those plants came to us from Florida, and some of them were already, fruiting when we got them, and they're fairly large. They were not light. I mean, these things came off a truck, and we had to unload them with equipment. So luckily, we got a jump on, having these things to that size. And that aroma that you get in that room as they, you know, as they're blossoming is just wonderful. People walk by that room and, you know, mm-hmm. and comment on that every single day. But, what a great room. What a great design feature to have in there. And like Isaiah said, that design goes back. And actually, it's like 1700s.
That's okay, yeah.
You know, that far back. But you had to be pretty wealthy to have one of those back then. You know, this was a design feature more towards like a mansion or castle.
This wasn't just some guy's house.
Yeah, this wasn't the peasants were. Yeah.
I mean, just the price of the tree alone, because you had to ship it from wherever it was from, you know, somewhere way down south, way down tropical on a boat for months at a time. So that's not a $50 tree you'll get at Lowe's.
Yeah.
It's probably a $5,000, if not more.
Yeah, so
Who gets to take the fruit home when it finally gets up, get ripening? Who gets to take all that stuff home?
Well, we generally let the volunteers have first pick, so to speak, of that stuff. We encourage the public not to take it. I know it's tempting to snag an orange while you're in there, but you know, sometimes we are we don't use any very abrasive chemicals or anything that. But occasionally there is stuff on those that you might not want to just be biting into. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably don't grab that stuff. If you do, maybe really wash it, but please don't take it with you. We generally don't like anybody to touch any of the plants in there.
Especially when, you know, we have one tree with one fruit on it. We want everybody to see that. We don't want the first person that comes in that day to take it and nobody gets to see it.
Yeah. But luckily, there's quite a bit of fruit going on in there. Some of those are about mm-hmm. to really put out. That lime that's in there, there's a Mexican key lime that's going to have limes all over it this summer. Yeah, so that's going to be a fun spot to be in.
Yeah, everything's covered in flowers right now, so it looks awesome. It smells awesome.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
I thought it was really neat sitting in there. That was a great place to have that press conference, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. And I guess also congratulations to you guys as a new director out of the Botanic Gardens. Tina Werthman named the director. She's kind of been serving in that capacity since Shane has stepped down, hasn't she?
Yeah, so she was interim, and she before that she was the assistant director. So she definitely has the time in there. She's really proven herself to be a great leader, and I know that everybody from Shane to most of the all the staff wanted her in there. So it's been an easy transition instead of getting somebody that nobody knows to come step in, and you got to all work through that newness of working together. So I think we're pretty lucky to step into having her as director that quickly,
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, congratulations to Tina and everybody out at the Botanic Gardens. 634-1240, if you have a question or a comment, text line 630-2266. Guys, what's going on out at the gardens in the Paul Smith Children's Village?
Well, it's pretty rainy outside, as we all kind of noticed, so there's not a ton going on outside at the Paul Smith Children's Village today. They do have at 1 o'clock, I believe, Lego Repel Bricks going on over there. Tomorrow is Friday, and that means it's story time, and every Friday it's story time at 11 o'clock. nets projects and books and different things for them to go in there that's based on a weekly theme. Saturday at 1 o'clock, they have Go Fly a Kite, and hopefully Saturday is going to be one of our nicer ones, so they might actually be out there and getting to do that. Sunday at 1 o'clock, they have art going on, and it's Mom Rocks. If you paint it, she will cry. A simple pun taken to the extreme. Now, I don't know exactly what to take away from that, but it sounds like it's fun, and hopefully yeah. will be a lasting memory for the mothers. Then they are closed Monday, as usual, and they open back up Tuesday. And at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, they will again be doing Mom Rocks, and on Wednesday as well at 4 o'clock. So, and all of those events that go on over there are free, and that's thanks to RBC Wealth Management, who is our seasonal sponsor. And those hours for the Children's Village are Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed Mondays. So if you're going to head over there, we'll be watching the weather too. But, yeah, what a great spot. And they have so much fun stuff for your kids over there. So go check that out. And then as far as the gardens, if you didn't know, we are open till 6 p.m. now. And that our hours are Wednesday through Sunday. And if you ever have a question on any of these times, you can always call 637-6458 or go to www.botanic.org to get any of this information. So, and we've got yoga going on tonight, Thursday. It's every Tuesday and Thursday at 5:15, and that's weekly classes with Lori Cook, and those are $40 a month for 8 classes, which is a great deal. It's a great place to do yoga in. You know, what better place in town could you ask for? Especially on a rainy day like today to be able to go do some yoga in a spot like that. And then we have our summer concert series that we'll keep mentioning up until that starts. June 21st will be the kickoff for that, Thursday, June 21st, July 12th, and then Thursday, August 9th, we'll cap that off with Jalon Crossland, who's always a good pull. And then that all kind of ties in with the Cheyenne Art Walk, which is every second Thursday from 5 to 8. And that's featuring artwork from artists all over town, different places, downtown, art galleries, businesses, restaurants. They'll be showcasing local and regional visual artists and musicians, sometimes accompanied by light food and beverages. The trolley will be taking people all over. We are one of those stops, so do come in and check it out. Like we have been mentioning, Wendy Breedhoft's artwork is hanging in our art gallery right now, and it is fantastic. So make sure, even if you're in the gardens, to pop up there and check that out, because it's really a treat to have that in there. And then if you missed it, we were rooted in Cheyenne, was at Accomplice on Monday, and we let our second beer go in our three-part series, and it was a good time. Isaiah was there. We gave trees away. It was Arbor Day. Governor Mead, he was busy that day. He was out signing proclamations at the Arboretum. He was at the gardens. Mm-hmm. So he was well traveled that day. So
he might have needed a cool one at the Accomplice.
Exactly. But so Friday, May 18th, we'll be releasing our last one, and that's a barrel aged Belgian, and that will be Friday, May 18th from 6 to 8 p.m., and the 19th is our planting day, so come on out and, you know, sign up, learn a little bit more about the program, and possibly come help us plant, too. So just come chat with us.
Perfect. Yeah. 634-1240. If you have a question or a comment, text line 630-2266. Guys, I just every year, I know this always happens when you go, you look for, you know, weed and feed, whatever that is for your lawn, because everybody's not talking about fertilizing their lawn.
Oh, yeah.
The numbers. There's three numbers that you find on the bag. They got the, you know, what do the numbers mean, and what should we be looking for?
So that's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Yes.
He's smiling at me. NPK here.
NPK ratio.
He was waiting for me to mess it up. NPK, yeah, and that's really those numbers, you know, you need to pay attention to them, and you kind of don't, because most of these mixtures that you're going to buy, these weed and feeds, they're pretty low numbers on most of them. They're generally going to be higher in nitrogen, just because, you know, the nitrogen is what's going to make these things grow fast.
Yeah.
Heavier iron, if you're looking at these, and they have an iron content on them, iron's going to green your grass up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you do need to look at those numbers, pay attention. But for the most part, your generic Weed and Feed, Scott's, Jordan's, all these brands, they're all going to be around the same level, unless you're looking at some really specialized stuff. But I think if you have a, you know, a decent looking lawn already, you don't have a huge weed problem, you don't have you know, big dead spots or anything like that, I would stick to, you know, your normal mixture rate. So
you want the higher number for around here though, right? The three you got, I saw one, it was like the one I got was 28.0 and 2 or something like that.
So that's they're in order of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Yeah. So nitrogen is really what makes your grass grow.
Yeah.
And you do normally want a lot of nitrogen, but I would definitely recommend, I mean, reading that bag, because with something that high, it's probably not calling for quite as much.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can't, you know, if you put a cup on every 100 foot for whatever you were using, don't do that again. Make sure, because you might just burn it up and kill your grass. And
yeah,
now you're totally out of luck. Yeah.
And like we were saying, especially if you got that, you know, high nitrogen down before this rain and stuff, and that sun comes out, you better have your mower ready to go.
Oh yeah, that stuff will take off.
Because it's gonna flush. You know, it's gonna push that grass out. That nitrogen's gonna make that stuff just grow really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like Isaiah said, man, always pay attention to the bag. Mm-hmm. Always pay attention to the instructions. You are putting a chemical down. You should always follow these instructions, because it can have really, really bad effects on your lawn or anything else you might happen to get it into as well. So, but like we said, for the most part, I think pretty much all the stuff that you can get out there that's your standard fertilizer without going too specialized is going to be great right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time of year to be getting it down. I was always taught, you know, oh, the rain is coming, so I got to get the fertilizer down. Now, and that can be good and it can be bad, because depending on if you have a slow release or what you have bought, once again, looking at the bag,
mm-hmm.
you know, this stuff can get just completely washed through your lawn and not have any effect, you know, or very little, because we get this time of year, we get these, you know, string of 4 or 5 days of just rain.
Yeah.
So it could wash that through. So you got to be really, you know, careful about when you're putting that stuff down too. Mm-hmm. So.
Now you mentioned iron to green it up.
Yep.
When do you put the iron? When would you say, okay, I'm going to throw some iron down?
I'm generally applying it midsummer, because yeah. I feel, you know, just the heat of the summer and the lower watering and all that stuff. Once we get into July and stuff, I generally end up using a little dose in there. But I mean, you can use it. The iron's not going to hurt your lawn, you know, mm-hmm. all summer long. It can't hurt it at all. So
yeah. What is that? I mean, is there any specific brand name for that you would be looking for that?
Well, some of them just check the bag. Some of them have it right on there. You know, and you can buy mixtures that are chelated iron.
Yep.
And
I saw something that said iron chelate on it.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Iron chelate, and that's exactly what that is. You know, you don't want to go overboard with it. A little goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find it too if it's the powdered version of it. It turns bright red, and you know, when you lay that stuff down, you'll see it all over the place. But it does really well. It will green your lawn up, and really you can use that as foliar applications on some trees to green them up if they're chlorotic.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different reasons you can use iron chelate, you know, in your yard and garden. So
okay,
yeah.
634-1240. If you do have a question or a comment today, text line 630-2266. Now, hummingbirds, guys. I heard woodpecker around here the other day, but you know, those things are all around. Can you get hummingbirds around here?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when I was a kid, I feel like I saw a lot more of them.
Yeah.
But I think what it is, and what it truly is what plants you have around you, what you have planted. You can hang hummingbird feeders all day long, but they're not going to be, you know, drawn to your area if you don't really have these, you know, plants planted around you. So they're not just for mountainous areas. They are around here. They're often seen in cities and the plains of the intermountain areas. And you can attract these hummingbirds by selecting and growing the right plants. So in general, red flowers are great for attracting these birds. And you can also consider planting cleome or scarlet sage, red petunias. There's flowering tobaccos, the Nicotiana or yep. Nicotiana?
Yeah, Nicotiana.
So penstemons, honeysuckles, there's a lot of different stuff. There's even one called Zauschneria, if you can find it, that does very well. And that's just a fun one to say anyway, Zauschneria.
Zauschneria?
Yes. So,
how do you spell that?
I believe it's Z-A-U.
I want to see what it looks like.
S-C-H-N-E-R-I-A?
Hopefully halfway through that yeah, it'll pull up.
Yeah, it popped up.
How close was I? No, I was almost there.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't realize you're going to have a spelling bee when you came in here. Yeah. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, nice bright red color. And another one that we were talking about right before the show is called Red Hot Poker. And what was this?
That's Nymphophia uvaria.
Yeah.
And that's just a beautiful plant. It's super, super drought tolerant, so it's an awesome one to have here anyway.
Yeah, and these things stand out in a garden like you wouldn't believe. And I almost feel like some of these plants, the flower shape is almost for the hummingbird.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, anything with that long tube, and it's, you know, that red, the oranges, the yellows, because that's the color wavelength that the birds are seeing. And then having that long tube helps them because, you know, they have that long beak with that long tongue, so they get all the way down in there.
Yeah. Well, and two, while we're talking about this, we should really address those hummingbird feeders, because you can really harm these hummingbirds by having these out there if you're not taking care of them. For one, you got to keep these things clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're using it year after year and you got the same stuff in there, there's stuff that can start growing in there, because really all that is sugar water. And unfortunately, what they sell to you at the store, the bright red mix that you always see, has a chemical in it, and it's a preservative and a color, you know, that they put in it. And it's so much easier and so much cheaper and so much better for these birds to just make that mixture yourself at home.
Yeah.
You can look it up online. It's I can't remember the sugar to water parts, but that's all it is. It's just sugar water that these guys are after. And do them a favor and keep those things clean, and use something that's a little bit better than that, what you're getting at that store, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keeping it clean is big, because you're just really growing bacteria and fungus with that if you're not washing it. You know, every time it gets empty, just get it some hot water and some soap and clean it real good and put it back out there.
Okay. Gentlemen, we do have a text that came in, our KFBC text line, 630-2266. This is from Gene. What do I put on my evergreens to make them green?
So evergreens are tough. That's a tough question, just because without actually standing there at the tree, it's kind of hard to diagnose problems. When we're talking evergreens, that's pretty broad here too, because we have spruce, we have pine, and within and juniper, and within those species, we have tons and tons of different types within there. You can generally stick to regular tree fertilizers with those, but if you have yellowing going on in, say, generally pines is where we see this a lot, first thing that would come to my mind is you might have a watering issue. It might not so much be nutrients that are causing this. Pines like to have a little bit more water than spruces, but there are other things that can be causing that, you know, different viruses, bugs, you know, affecting the tree. Generally, you don't see a lot of yellowing in conifers from nutrient deficiencies. I mean, you do, but around here, you know, generally it's more abiotic instead of
biotic.
Biotic.
I would say it's just not enough water to move those nutrients. They've got plenty of them. They just can't move them anywhere.
Yeah. So I would say maybe first take a look at where and how you're watering these, and then possibly move on to other questions. And, you know, like I said, without actually standing there, that's why it's great to call an arborist in town, call Urban Forestry. Sometimes they can come out, not a lot of the times, but, you know, get a trained arborist out there. That it's really hard to diagnose those plants over the radio.
Yeah.
So,
Gene, if you can get a picture of it, text a picture, and we'll show a picture to these guys, and we'll see if they can help you out in that regard. And again, that's one of the good things about the text line is you can text a picture of a weed or whatever you might have, whatever issue you might have, and we can show them a picture of it, and they can try and diagnose what issue you might be having. So, Gene, if you can get a shot of that, get it to us before the end of the program, and we'll see if Jacob and Isaiah can help you out a little bit more. This is The Garden Show. It is brought to you by Gardening with Altitude at 1101 Logan Avenue. We need to take a time out and get into Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family brought to you by Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Let it rain. Let your love rain down on me. Let it rain. Let it rain. Well, that's appropriate for today. Let it rain. This is the weekly gardening show here on KFBC. Gardening show brought to you by Gardening with Altitude. Cheyenne Today, presented by Black Hills Energy. Questions or comments for horticulturists Jacob and Isaiah from the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens, please feel free to give us a call, 634-1240. Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line. The text line, 630-2266. Gene texted in a question. We certainly do appreciate your participation. Gene, we've got a gift card for you from Chick-fil-A down here for a free breakfast sandwich for your participation. Now, one thing we were talking about during the break, we were talking about hummingbirds, and Jacob, you brought up a pretty good point. If you want to attract hummingbirds, there's all kinds of plants that you guys were talking about to do it, but you need to do it in an area so it doesn't become a kitty buffet, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So cats attribute not feral cats, I'm sure feral cats too, but, you know, your typical house cat accounts for a lot of hummingbird deaths. And I'm sure if you have a cat, you've had a cat drag something up to your door for you plenty of times as a little present. But we had a gentleman give a talk about hummingbirds, and he made a very good point to us that if you have cats or you have cats in your neighborhood, and you're planting these plants, generally at ground level, you know, in a planting bed at your house, well, you're bringing these birds down to feed on these plants that are generally, you know, anywhere from a foot to, you know, 4 or 5 feet off the ground tops, and you're putting them right in danger's way with these cats. So if you're planting a hummingbird garden and you do have cats, try and elevate it. Maybe put them up on some benches and some potters, you know, keep them up off of the ground where these cats can't readily, like you said, create a buffet in there. Yeah. You know, they're quick little birds, but really these are little predatory animals we have in our homes, and they're going to have no problem snagging these little guys. So. Yeah. So do be careful.
It is amazing how fast hummingbirds move.
Oh, it is.
They're absolutely incredible.
They're so much fun to watch, and, you know, they're absolutely beautiful. They're quite the amazing little creature. I think they're one of the only species of birds that can fly backwards.
Yeah.
And hover, you know.
And just their iridescent feathers, too, you know, when the light catches them. They're beautiful.
Do you have a lot of them down in Alabama?
We have a lot of the ruby-throated, and then there's another one. So I think we have, like, two or three species.
Yeah. Right.
But all over.
I can honestly say I've probably only seen maybe one or two hummingbirds in my lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I definitely one of my friend's parents had an amazing garden growing up, and I could go over there any time of the summer and just watch the hummingbirds go back and forth through there. But, you know, he was very specific in choosing that stuff to attract those birds. Mm-hmm. But what a great little aerial show that they put on, and how much fun to sit around and watch them in your garden, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
634-1240. If you have a question or comment, text line 630-2266. Now, garden tools, guys. Now, I'm one of those guys that just leaves them out. And, you know, all the handles are rotted, and you get slivers and things like that. So if I was going to try to go out and replace some of these things, or maybe even try to refurbish the old beat-up ones that I have, what should I be doing?
Well, refurbishing, you know, we always talk in the wintertime that your downtime is a great time to be, you know, maybe hitting that handle of the shovel or rake or whatever you got there, those older wood handles. You can hit them with a light grit sandpaper and restain them, reseal them. That'll make them last a lot longer. You can use just a standard linseed oil on those. It seals them really well, and that'll help preserve that wood over the years. Now, and if you're like me, I started off with hand-me-down tools. So, you know, I got this set from my father that he had, and I think probably his three forefathers it had, they look like, and they still work. But, you know, I think that was years of them being taken care of and stuff, and they're starting to split. But as you go out and you're shopping for these things, the handles nowadays are generally made from fiberglass. You can still buy wood handle around, but for the most part, stuff's fiberglass now. They have nice different textured handles, different things. It's ergonomic now, you know. It's smart to, you know, work easier now, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have all these choices, all these catalogs, and it's really, you know, the job you're doing and what you need to get done. When you're out shopping for them, though, I definitely, you know, buy yourself a good pair of gloves, too. I think people forget that when they're looking at their tools and stuff and they're getting ready to go out and work is, you know, you're going to blister your hands up pretty quick if you're not out there with a pair of gloves on. But I don't know, what is there a type of, do you prefer fiberglass? Do you prefer wood, Isaiah?
I like wood just because I like the way it looks. I don't know if I've really noticed a difference in performance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely a big proponent of you get what you pay for.
Yes, that's very true.
So if the price seems a little too good, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've made that mistake a couple times on, like, pruning. You know, I bought a pair of pruning shears a couple years ago, the long-handled ones, and I got it home and, you know, gave it a little too much muscle, and the handle came right off, you know. That was a metal handle, too.
Really?
Yeah, not that I'm some Hulk over here that can rip stuff apart, but these were pretty cheap, you know. So they're in the bargain bin on the way out, and I got what I paid for. So
wood slivers don't seem to hurt as bad as fiberglass slivers either.
Yeah, you know, and that's
your fingers.
And that's one thing to think about, because these fiberglass handles can eventually break down, and that's why you don't leave tools outside.
Yeah.
You know, these things have a coating on them, and eventually you're going to wear them down and you'll probably want to replace them, but that's years if you are actually taking care of these tools. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to leave these things out in the yard. Like, I understand, you know, you're tired, you're all done, you want to go inside, but, you know, abusing your tools, you know, is going to cost you money in the long run, or possibly, you know, a fiberglass splinter or a wood splinter in the hand. So you got to be careful there too. So
yeah, especially if you just paid a lot of money for that tool, you know, take care of it, it'll last a lot longer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't. I buy the cheap ones and I let them go to heck. I'll just 634-1240. If you got a question or a comment, text line 630-2266. Now, we were talking about fertilizers before. Now, organic fertilizers, a little more expensive than some of the other ones. How do you, any way you can economize or get the best out of your organic fertilizers, guys?
Yeah. So a great organic fertilizer you can find is, and it's at your local feed store. We had purchased it, I believe, from ANC Feed at one point, and great store for this is alfalfa pellets, or meal, alfalfa meal. We used pellets. They make a great fertilizer. Alfalfa is very high in nitrogen, as well as other needed nutrients, and you can just, these bags are very inexpensive. I think like a 50-pound bag's like $11.
Really? Okay.
And, you know, you could get away with doing a pretty big area with, you know, one or two of these bags. Mm-hmm. And you just spread these pellets out. A vegetable and flower beds, you know, they need between 2 to 5 pounds of alfalfa for every 100 square feet. And you just kind of dig that into the top 6 inches and get water on it. And they kind of, they're kind of small when you put them out, but they kind of expand out and break down pretty readily.
Yeah.
And boy, they'll kick that nitrogen level in your soil up and add some of those nutrients. And what a great cheap way to go. Just have somebody strong backed with you when you're loading them up, because like I said, they usually come in a 50-pound sack, you know, for farmers. But it's a great cheap thing to get out there. And you can also, when you're in there, be looking for the decomposed chicken, sheep or cow manure. They work really well. Don't add more than an inch of that to the soil, because they can burn pretty easily, mm-hmm. your plants. My grandfather had amazing luck with horse manure. He always had this great big huge pile of horse manure out by the garden. But he took really good care of it, and he would do what you call tenting or covering it to really heat it up and break it down. Because unfortunately, horse manure, if you do get that, it can be really weedy because of what the horses eat.
Yeah.
You know, their stomachs don't break it down quite like a cow or these other things do. So you get a lot of these weed seeds pass through in the manure. So you might be, you know, fighting that if you're using horse manure. But as long as you break it down enough, too, you can use that as well. But I would say stick to the chicken, sheep, or cow varieties. Mm-hmm. So
okay. 634-1240, that is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line. We do need to take a time out. Want your participation. If you do give us a call or a text, we will give you a gift card for a free breakfast sandwich at Chick-fil-A. This is the Weekly Garden Show on Cheyenne Today. Cheyenne Today presented by Black Hills Energy. Garden Show brought to you by Gardening with Altitude at 1101 Logan Avenue, growing from the ground up.
Garden party to reminisce with my old friends. Chance to share old memories and play our songs again. La, da, da.
We welcome you back. The Weekly Garden Show here on Cheyenne Today. The Garden Show brought to you by Gardening with Altitude and the Garden Cheyenne Today presented by Black Hills Energy. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free. Give us a call, 634-1240. That is the Fat Boys Tire and Auto phone line. We do have a call, so let's head to the phone. And good morning. You're on the Garden Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I am getting ready to plant my garden, or my son plants it, and there's an overabundance of weeds out there. I've been trying to dig them up, but that requires a shovel, and I'm not real partial to shovels. So can I take some Roundup out there and kill those weeds without hurting the soil for putting garden in?
In very light applications. That chemical has a half-life, so it will stay in the soil for, you know, a...
It's usually just a 2 or 3 days, but, you know, don't spray it and then immediately throw some vegetables in there. Give it a little while.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you spray it and you get some control on them and get them out of there, you know, like Isaiah said, give it, you know, I'd give it more than...
I'd give it probably a week just to be safe.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Oh, okay, very good. Because we're going to be rototilling the alfalfa pellets in...
Excellent.
So we probably won't do that till next week. So if I go out there today and kill those weeds, we should be good to go.
Huh? Yeah, for sure. Yep. As long as and make sure it's nice and sunny out when you're using that Roundup. You don't want to use it if it's rainy out or cold or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I hate to rub it in, but it's a beautiful sunny day here.
Oh, okay.
You had a bad winter, so we got you there.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
So you use the Roundup, you kill the weeds. She's talking about rototilling it in. Do you need to go out and pull the dead weed, or can you just rototill that in with what you're
doing? It's free compost. That's what that is.
Okay. Yeah, it can go right in. I mean, generally, unless they got a big seed head on them, which they shouldn't yet, you know, you should be fine just rototilling them right under. They'll decompose in there, especially whenever once everything else gets going, it's, you know, you get your nitrogen in there and stuff starts breaking down, mm-hmm. and you should be fine. Unless you have some big gnarly weeds, I would be, you know, I'd be
some
fine
of that. What is it out here? Canadian thistle? Yeah. Is that crazy?
Yeah, thing? But that stuff won't be that big.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right now it's the perfect time to be hitting weeds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we had to. Rod asked you guys about crabgrass. We don't have much time. Maybe this is for another show. But Shane always said everybody thinks it's crabgrass around here when actually it's called quack grass. It's not a crab grass per se, correct?
Yep, quack grass. Yeah, and it's an invasive grass, and you know everybody deals with it. And you know a lot of times you'll see those big spots in your yard of them, and it's hard to get it out of there. I mean, you can dig it out. You know, you can spray it. I believe there are some broad spectrum sprays that you can get on there that target that a little bit more. But yeah, what a not fun thing to have in your yard. So it's generally elbow grease to get that stuff out of there is what I recommend.
Yeah,
yeah, because you can't use your normal herbicides that you would use for your grass, because grass herbicides are targeted to kill broadleaf plants, which a grass is not.
Yep.
So trying to get one kind of grass out of your other kind of grass just means you got to go pull it out.
Yep.
Bearer of bad news.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get to work. That's where you go buy those new tools and your gloves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure having you on today. We needed to mention something about Gardening with Altitude.
Yeah, Gardening with Altitude. If you got a younger kid or you have some time on your hands, he is hiring right now.
Okay.
So he needs some summer help. So go over there and bug Kenneth at Gardening with Altitude. And what's their address?
1101 Logan Avenue.
1101 Logan Avenue.
Yeah. If you're going to garden, you might as well get paid for it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. tell him we sent you.
Tell him Jacob and Isaiah sent you down. Yeah. That's going to do it, guys. Thanks for coming
in. No problem.
This
thank
is
you.
97.5 FM AM 1240 KFBC Cheyenne. Have a great day, everyone.